Listening for God's words. This is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 11. The Lord God's Spirit is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for captives and liberation for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vindication for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for Zion's mourners, to give them a crown in place of ashes, oil of joy in place of mourning, a mantle of praise in place of discouragement. They will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord to glorify Himself. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore formerly deserted places. They will renew ruined cities, places deserted in generations past. I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and dishonesty. I will faithfully give them their wage, and make with them an enduring covenant. Their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize that they are a people blessed by the Lord. I surely rejoice in the Lord. My heart is joyful because of my God, because He has clothed me in the clothes of victory, wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom in a priestly crown, and like a bride adorned in jewelry. As the earth puts out its growth, and as a garden grows its seeds, so the Lord God will grow righteousness and praise before all nations. Holy words for holy people.
Thank you, Dan. You may notice that we have a slightly larger crowd today than usual. Something special is going to happen. We're going to have baptisms. We've got two baptisms today. I'm excited. I will make no secret that this is my favorite part of my job, baptizing babies. Baptizing adults is also really cool. I've done that. But there's just something special about baptizing babies. I love it. I love it. I love it when they laugh. I love it when they cry. I love it when they sleep through the whole thing. I think it's wonderful. However they react to it, it's just great. I remember the day I got baptized. I got baptized as a teenager. I was like 18 and my brother was 16. And we stood kind of right here. Only it was in Carrier Mills United Methodist Church, but it was right here in the middle of the aisle. And our pastor, Tom Richards, sprinkled us, said the words, and my mom was there with us. And I laughed, and my brother started crying. Not because I was laughing. And I wasn't laughing because he was crying either. It was just our emotional reaction to what was happening. The water kind of tickled me or something, and I just got the giggles. And I looked over at my brother, and he's emotional and weepy. And as I reflect on that moment now, it's a symbol to me of what baptism is. Baptism does run the whole range of human emotion, and there is no right or wrong reaction to it. There's really no right or wrong way to do it. There's no right or wrong way to live out your baptism, as long as you do it faithfully. And as United Methodists, I think we have good theology. I think we have excellent theology. We inherited it from the Anglicans. But baptism carries with it the symbolism of death and resurrection. Christian baptism is about dying to an old life and rising to a new life, about letting go of an old life and taking on the mantle of a new life of faith, which that symbolism is why some denominations wait until you're a teenager old enough to make that decision for yourself. And I respect that theology. I understand why some denominations and some churches think that way or believe that way. But as United Methodists, we have this thing that if you've been through confirmation class or new membership class in a Methodist church, we call it prevenient grace. It was one of John Wesley's best bits, I think. Prevenient grace. Prevenient isn't a word that we use much anymore, except in this context. It means grace that goes first. Grace that happens first. We believe, as United Methodists, that God takes the first step in our relationship with God. It's not that we decided to get into a relationship with God, but that God was there the whole time, ready for us to make that move. But God's making the first move, letting us know that God is open, letting us know that God is willing. It's like being at a dance, like a junior high dance. You know how awkward a junior high dance is, right? In my junior high dance, all the girls were dancing and all the guys were lined up against the wall drinking Cokes, scared to ask any of the girls to dance. Maybe it wasn't all the guys, maybe it was just me. I don't know. That's how I remember it, though. But imagine going into a junior high dance as a junior high kid, and someone greets you as you're walking in and says, "When you want to dance, come get me. When you want to dance, come see me." And all night long, as the music plays, you glance over at the corner and that person is, "Hi. Whenever." That person's God. And that invitation as you walked in the door was prevenient grace. You have an open invitation. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." God makes the first move in our relationship. Now, we could get into some real theological depth of a doctrine of original sin, that we're born in original sin. And I don't like the language that most of us use when describing that, because it implies that we're born broken. And I don't think that we're born broken. But I do think that we're born fragile. We're born with a natural fragility that we never outgrow. We're born with a natural fragility that's part of the human condition. Let's call that original sin. We're born with a tendency to get broken. We're born with a tendency to need to be held gently and delicately. And because we're so fragile, God says, "I'm here. Always. I've been working in your life before you knew I was even here. I've been doing something before you even knew I existed. I've been here for you for from the time you walked in the door. Which is why we baptize babies. We baptize little ones because God is at work in their lives right now. We're going to baptize Lark and Tallulah because God is already doing something special in their lives right now. There's no old life that they need to die to and shun right now. There is only a new life, a life in the church, a life as part of this body, that her parents have said, we're going to raise you up this way. We're going to raise you in this new life. We're going to raise you in this new family. We're going to surround you with people who love you. I don't know what she said, but I think I got upstaged. But everyone you see here, Lark, is your family, and we love you. And we love you because you are you, and we love you because God loves you, and we love you because God loves us, and there's nothing in this room but love. This place, this room, this space is filled with grace and mercy and goodness and love. We celebrate the love of God. We celebrate the love we have for one another. We celebrate the love that we have for Lark and Tallulah. Because it's wonderful. And as precious and as sweet as they are, we know that life is going to get hard. It's never smooth sailing for any of us. And no matter how hard we work to protect our children from all the bumps and bruises and scrapes, they happen. No matter how hard we try to prevent our kids' hearts from being broken, it'll happen. But we'll be here. We will be here. And so Ailey and Richie are going to come forward and they're going to make a vow, a promise to raise these kids up in church and to love them and support them as long as they live. And then you, who are gathered here, are going to make a vow that as a church, we're going to help them do this. That Ailey and Richie are not on their own in raising these kids. And that we as a church, with God's love and God's help, are here to help them. So we're going to make a lot of promises. And we're going to celebrate God's promises for us. Because God took the first step in our lives, and God's taking the first step in their lives. And it's just beautiful. So this is, I hope, not just my favorite part of what we do here. I hope all of you feel the love, the grace, the support, the mercy, and the goodness that fills this sanctuary this morning. Remember your own baptism. I don't mean remember the day you got baptized. I can because I was a teenager. Some of us can't because it happened when we were babies. I don't mean remember the day. I mean remember that you have been. And remember the old lives that we've cast off and the new lives that we have. And it doesn't matter if you fall down. It only matters that you get back up. It matters that we rise. And God will give us wings. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let's get this show on the road. Amen and amen.